What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Dios FM.
And I am Mala Munoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast, hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners, breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we were podcasting independently since 2016, but joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
This year, we're continuing to share stories from the Latinx community para todo el mundo.
Welcome to Season 8.
Are you listening?
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 8 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
You're tuning in to Capítulo 163.
And this is the very first episode of Locatora Radio Season 8.
Today, we're catching up with all of you listening and welcome you to a brand new season.
And with a new season, of course, as you know, comes a new theme.
If you haven't watched the full skit yet, head over to @locatora_radio on all socials to watch the full clip. You know that we love a theme.
Yes, this was such a fun skit, video, promo,
everything.
Shoot. Yes, this is all about having a podcast and the way that we're bringing light and love into your lives when you listen to us. And we, of course, were inspired by a skit from the Cher show called I'm a Woman. If you haven't seen the original, look it up. It's fabulous.
Yeah, and we just loved the glamour, the aesthetic, the wit of Cher and Raquel Welch. So we were very much inspired by the glamour, the song, it's like kind of sing-songy, like you talk sing. And Mala made me sing. 'Cause we're a podcast, PODCAST.
Are you listening? If you're a loca, peligrosa. Yes, it was so fun. We rewrote the lyrics, and instead of saying, I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N, which Cher and Raquel sing in the original skit, we changed it to We're a Podcast, PODCAST, and we went to the best singer we know, Crisol, to not only help us put the song together, but Crisol literally sat with us and vocal coached us, like, note by note, word by word, and that's the product that you see, that you hear at the end. It's Crisol literally coaching us through it.
Imagine we become pop stars.
Girl.
I'm just kidding.
Crazier things have happened.
It's true.
I'm saying, don't give me ideas.
Mala would 100% make us go on tour with this one 30-second, 60-second song.
It's enough. There's other one-hit wonders have made, like, legendary names for themselves off of one song.
I feel like now we've very much set ourselves up to perform this, like, live.
Yeah.
I mean, I will be lip syncing because my voice could never, but
it's okay.
With the right vocal coaching, I got there.
Yeah, we laid down the track. Everybody lip syncs. It's an accepted thing. Who cares? It sounds fun. all of our favorite drag queens are lip syncing for their lives.
This is
why
so
not
true.
Us?
This is so true. So aside from getting ready for season 8 and filming visuals, we've been super busy over here. We had like our off season, our downtime, but we were definitely not off and we definitely didn't really have downtime.
No, I mean, you literally graduated with a master's degree from the University of Southern California.
I did. The Obamas were at my graduation.
Screaming, among others. I'm sure it was a star-studded affair.
Truly.
And I thought what was really fascinating about your graduation is that there was no, like, limit on who could go.
Right.
Like, other graduations, each grad gets, like, 5 tickets, and you have to choose who can attend. But at USC, they're like, no, the whole city's coming.
It's come one, come all.
It was wild.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, the graduation itself was very beautiful.
Yes.
It was, I felt very short and sweet. I don't know how it felt for y'all, but, like, for me, it felt, like, very quick. Less than 2 hours, a little over 1 hour.
Mm.
It was very chaotic, obviously, at the end, like, trying to find everybody. But I thought that the graduation itself was very lovely.
It was fun.
I had a lot of fun, like, walking with my cohort and just walking in general. Your sister actually designed my cap.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so cute. I see it on Instagram.
Yes, I asked her to draw or paint our logo with the rose and teeth, and then it just says Balas Locas, because that is who I do everything for.
Yep.
It's for y'all, the crazy bitches, the crazy women,
yes,
the so-called locas, who are not really locas, but, you know, head back to Loca Epistemologies if you want to know more.
The
Episode
origins.
Episode 1. That was really fun. And then just after the graduation, it has just been nonstop, like, other graduations. My partner graduated. He got his master's. Parties, weddings, my best friend got married. It's just been crazy. It's been very wild, very social, and I'm exhausted. My social battery is depleted. But it was a really fun, incredible graduation and wedding season.
Yeah, well, I can't tell because you look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
You would never know. No, it's been a really fun like kickoff to the summer.
Totally.
Honestly, it's been kind of cold and downcast, but there's been so much going on that it's still been a really fun time.
Yeah, I've also just been transitioning into just life, like now just having Locatora on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is obviously a full serving of lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, have just been like reflecting over the last couple of weeks and realizing that I'm recovering from 7 years of burnout. And not
Real.
Just graduation and not just grad school and having multiple jobs. It's like 7 years of like running myself into the ground, but keeping it cute and keeping it going.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just easing into the summer and easing into work and trying to give myself as much balance as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm doing a good job.
You're doing a fabulous job. I mean, what you're describing is so real. When I quit my job in 2020, I entered into what I have called my hippie era.
Yeah.
Because it was like, damn, I'm exhausted from my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, and it was the first time I had ever not been in school, not been working full time, and it was pandemic. So there was this moment where I was kind of just like almost grateful that I wasn't expected to be anywhere. Because that can be so draining. And you were dividing your time and being in a bunch of different places between your job and your school and the podcast. So I totally feel you, girl, because you deserve the rest now.
Yes. You were in your hippie era. I'm in my like lounging era.
Yeah.
Like I'm taking naps in the middle of the day,
Love it.
A 30-minute cat nap. I'm lounging, out trying to get sun, trying to be by the pool, like reading a little more throughout the day. So I'm really just trying to ease into life and work and create a new system for myself. Like, as we've talked about on the podcast over the years, like, we don't have to work a 9-to-5 and, you know, be under the system of capitalism. Obviously, we have to do things, but we can do them at our own pace and as long as we get them done. So I'm trying to implement that more as we build and grow this year.
Yeah. And if anything we've learned, it's that we cannot rush success.
Right.
Like, it literally takes years.
Yeah.
And just chipping away at it and continuing to work at it, which I think being in season 8, I'm so grateful for that understanding.
Yes.
Like, the work will still be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we could get any email, any phone call. And we have gotten them, actually, recently.
Mala
guys.
Is dying to tell you something that she's not allowed to tell you yet.
Once again.
As you know, she does this
once again,
all
new,
the time.
New secrets that I cannot share. But just know we have even more announcements coming in the future.
Speaking of, you have been busy being your little comedic self over the Southwest. So tell me more. I know you were traveling. You were booked. You were doing shows. Tell me more.
Yeah, so I got to start, I had my first show like outside of LA in Bakersfield at The Well, and it was so fun. And it's interesting because for LA comics, I guess Bakersfield, San Diego, the Central Valley, the Bay Area, those are some of the first towns that comics will travel to. And once you've gone to those places, now it's like, oh, you're on the road. So when I booked my Bakersfield show, Marcella, shout out Marcella Arguello, she comments on my Instagram when I like post about the Bakersfield show at The Well, and she's like, our girl's on the road.
Aww.
So I'm like, yes, my first road gig, even though it's my family lives there, like I go there all the time, like it's only 2 hours outside of LA. It's considered like a road gig. So that was a really fun show because I had like 15 family members there.
Yeah.
And they had a great time. I had a good set. I was grateful because there's nothing worse than like, I've always dreaded inviting people to a show and then I bomb and then it's like, well, why did I even invite you guys? How embarrassing.
Right.
But that was not the case. And then from there, me and like 7 other comedians who I've met at Chatterbox, including like Stevana Delgado, we co-hosted Chatterbox. We went to Austin for a comedy trip and I ended up doing a show out there that a bunch of you listeners went to because I met some of you guys at Austinite Cannabis Co. Sold out show. We did like an LA takeover, so it was just all 8 of us, and I headlined. It was very fun.
Mala and Friends.
Yeah. Mala and Friends is basically what it was, yeah.
It was very cute. It looked fabulous.
It was
fun. It looked fun.
It was super fun. I'll be in Modesto on July 28th, so like you guys look forward to that at the State Theater. I'm posting the flyer, and I'll put the ticket link on my link tree. But yeah, that's been me recently. So I'm going to Guadalajara this summer. So by the time this is out, I'll probably have
back.
Already gone. But
yeah.
I'll tell you guys about it
eventually.
Upon my return.
Yes.
Yes.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there. I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I love that. I love that. I love that you have You've been traveling a little bit already this summer. Summer's just starting. What else have you been up to? I know that there's a new initiative by the LA Times, a Latinx initiative called Delos.
Yes, which is also launching in the midst of like broader things happening at the LA Times. We're actually going to talk about the LA Times a lot in this episode. Delos is a new Latinx vertical that sort of like has spawned out of like the Latinx files and the Latino Caucus at the LA Times, and a lot of journalists who for many years have been working to have more visible Latinx representation, not only like on the masthead and in the newsroom, but in the content that is being shared from the LA Times. So Delos is all about Latinidad in LA, and they've hired a bunch of creators, content creators, to make videos about like our Latinx LA for Delos on Instagram Reels and on TikTok. So I have a video out, which is actually about Chatterbox, because I consider Chatterbox to be right now the mecca of Latino stand-up comedy in LA County. There's no other place that's doing it like Chatterbox, and it's been 10 years. So you can check out that video, follow Delos on Instagram and on TikTok. And once when Delos launched, it like happened in the midst of massive like potential layoffs at the LA Times. We were on Twitter one day and saw a bunch of Times journalists, especially the Latino Times journalists that we follow, tweeting about how they received, like out of nowhere, a notice that they were being let go. They were like letting go over 60 people, including some of their only Spanish speakers in the photo department, copy editors, audience engagement folks. So it's like a wacky time, not a good time. And the LA Times is not the only people laying off staff.
Yeah, I mean, as you all know, there have been layoffs going on the last couple of months in media. So it's just a really tough time for journalists, especially as, I mean, I'm super, super grateful that we have built our own. And like, I graduated not having to be on the job search. So I really feel for like the journalists that just graduated, folks in my cohort that are like trying to figure out what their next move is. Because it can feel really bleak and very grim right now in the journalism and media landscape. And, you know, Gimlet, who was bought out by Spotify a couple years ago, also had layoffs. And LAist, one of our favorite local public radio stations, news outlets here in LA, let go a lot of their staff, and their podcast department was hit really badly. Some of our friends were laid off. So we feel for them and we're sending them our best. So it's just been rough for LA journalists, for LA folks working in media. It's
across the board.
Across the board, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In podcasting, writers, as we know, the WGA, the Writers Guild of America, the writers are on strike and have been on strike now for what, like 50 days?
Yeah, since May 3rd, I believe.
At the time of this recording. And it doesn't. And I think my understanding is they voted to like approve their strike, right? It seems that they're going to continue to strike for the foreseeable future until some concessions are made and protections are put in place from the studios and big execs, so writers get paid fairly, so that writers are not being replaced by AI, so that writers are in proper rooms and have the resources that they need to like get the work done. And also so that writers are getting their residuals.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues going on with streaming platforms and shows, as we've talked about, as we've covered on past episodes and past seasons, shows getting cut. And a lot of that has to do with not paying writers and actors their residuals.
Right.
So it's all related. And now here we are.
Here we
striking.
Are. Yeah, we're definitely in solidarity with all unions. We support unions. We support labor unions in solidarity with the writers. I think there's a really big misconception and glamorizing of working in Hollywood and being a writer for like a hit TV show. A lot of these folks, like as we know with streamers, they could be working on one season but aren't guaranteed a second season.
Yeah.
Especially if you're looking at Netflix, for example, we know that a lot of shows get canceled after season two, season three. And there's in a lot of contracts, like, because I've been following writers that have shared like pay transparency, that like 1 year they can be making 200K and the following year they're making only 30.
Right.
And that's not a livable wage in Los Angeles. So there's writer Francesca Ramsey, and she has been really defending herself and a lot of the writers because people in her comments were conflating things like, well, you're making more than teachers and teachers should be paid more. No one is saying that teachers shouldn't be paid more or that writers should be making more than anyone else. It's more so like creating a livable wage. Mm-hmm. I think that it's really important to know like why the writers are striking. And unions just make everyone's lives better, especially if you're a parent, if you're a caregiver, if you're a head of household. Like, unions just make your lives better because if you're in a union, it affects literally everyone in your little ecosystem unit.
Right.
So, yeah, just, you know, get informed, support the writers, support the writer strike.
Yeah. And teachers have unions and the teachers strike all the time.
All the time.
The teachers were just striking.
They were just striking.
LAUSD.
Yeah.
You know, what we have talked about and what we should be talking about is how writers are contributing to the economy of Hollywood and Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Writing and creating movies and TV shows is the business. It's the industry and it gives a lot of people jobs.
Yeah.
Cops don't do that. Cops should not be making more than teachers or TV writers, honestly. Cops don't create anything. They don't contribute to economy or industry. They don't make anything. They don't provide a service.
Right.
A cop is not going to write you a TV show or teach your kid anything or fix your plumbing. Why are they making more than everybody?
Yeah.
Let's focus on that.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together. And that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Also, just continuing with like what's been happening in LA these past couple months while we've been off season, like obviously by the time y'all listen, like Pride Month is over, but Pride Month is all year round, y'all. It's Pride year. We're proud every day. We're proud all year long. So we just want to recognize that. And also, we have an older episode called The Bi Agenda. So if you haven't tuned in, listen to that one. We talk about our journeys as queer folks, as bisexual women.
Yeah, and the bi agenda is cursing through our veins and through every episode. Like, we're pushing the bi agenda constantly. And so, that being said, we want to talk about hot topic, hot issue all over LA, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and the Dodgers and the Catholic Church.
Yes.
where to begin? You guys have heard about this. If you're listening, if you're anywhere in California, you've probably heard about this.
I mean, at this point, it's nationwide. So for context, the Dodgers have a Pride Night. They've been doing it for many years. It's during Pride Month. And they give out a Heroes Award. And so this year they were honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence for their decades of work, of charity work, of HIV prevention and education. And they have an SF chapter, they have an LA chapter, and so their LA chapter was being honored. Conservatives caught wind of it. Marco Rubio caught wind of it. Like
Villanueva.
Villanueva. Like folks even outside of California and outside of LA caught wind of it. And they said that they were going to boycott the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. They were criticizing the Dodgers for giving this award. And so the Dodgers rescinded their invite to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. So then, of course, you got all the queer folks, all the allies in the Dodgers comments, you know, saying that this was wrong, that this, that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence deserve the Heroes Award for all of their work. You had, it just became very, very contentious. Lots of homophobia, of course. Mm-hmm. And so then the Dodgers apologized and they were like, just kidding. We apologize. We're committed. They're like, we're committed to like being better and being allies and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And we still want to offer the award to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. The conservatives, the Catholics, all the same. They were not happy with that. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting closer to the Pride Night at Dodgers. And the day of, there's like the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles decides that they're going to have a prayer protest at the one of the parking lots at Dodger Stadium.
And we were watching on Instagram.
And horrified.
Horrified. First of all, we come to find that there's a lot of alt-right actors involved in putting this protest together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being labeled as a peaceful, prayerful protest. And you have former sheriff Alex Villanueva there in his tejana, in his cowboy hat.
Yep.
Making speeches. And some people that we follow, unfortunately, also in attendance.
Yeah.
And making this about, oh, like, we can't stand a mockery of the Catholic Church. What a mockery of Catholicism. And there's just so much to talk about there. There's just so much to unpack. We have talked a lot about the Catholic Church, you and I, over the years, because, of course, as most of you know, we're Catholic schoolgirls, Roman Catholic, raised in it for many years. We've done the sacraments. We've done the confirmation. We've gone to Mass. We've read the Bible. Like, we know. Yeah. We get it. And what I know to be true is the Catholic Church is a world power, is a multinational corporation with its own country. Vatican City is a country. And the Catholic Church still has not made amends for the centuries of child abuse and child molestation at the hands of Catholic priests. The Catholic Church is not a marginalized group. Catholics are not a marginalized religious group at all. Let's stop pretending that that's the case.
Yeah, Catholics like colonized half the world. So like, let's not pretend that they're a marginalized or oppressed group
at all.
They are going to be okay.
Yes.
And from all of the images, the videos I saw from local news, the LA Times created a reel about what happened at the protest that day. And there's a lot of Latinos. It's not about just defending their religion. What it does is it masquerades as like a defense of religion, but it allows for homophobia, blatant homophobia. There were "you're going to hell" signs being raised. And it's like a very contentious time in this country where anti-trans bills and laws are being passed, books are being banned, where people are talking about, quote, groomers again. Like the Glendale School District were trying to initiate a pride recognition at their school. Again, alt-right folks started going to protest. It's been very violent. Mm-hmm. It is a really, really terrible time to be queer. It's always been, but especially right now, any sliver of like hope and being mainstream, like it's really dangerous again to be queer, to be trans in this country, even in Los Angeles. And so for the quote allies or folks that are saying like, oh, it's just because I'm defending my religion because it's being made a mockery. Like, no, like you're allowing for the homophobia, for mm-hmm. the transphobia, mm-hmm. the bigotry to permeate and to be on display and to be made okay again.
Yeah. And for those listening, we pulled the biography of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This is from their website. So from their website, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are a leading edge order of queer and trans nuns. We believe all people have a right to express their unique joy and beauty. Since our first appearance in San Francisco on Easter Sunday, 1979, the sisters have devoted ourselves to community service, ministry, and outreach to those on the edges, and to promoting human rights, respect for diversity, and spiritual enlightenment. We use humor and irreverent wit to expose the forces of bigotry, complacency, and guilt that chain the human spirit. What I love about this order of nuns, which is how they describe themselves, and you have more backstory on their connection to nuns, Catholic nuns, when they first founded back in the day in the 70s. What I love is that they employ humor. And humor, comedy at its core, is supposed to be about punching up and making fun of the elite, those in power. And so they're doing it from within. And I think what we're not acknowledging and what makes Catholics uncomfortable is there is a place to make fun of Catholicism, because Catholicism, that is punching up. You know, those are the Catholic Church can be an oppressor, has been, can continue to be. And so it's fair game. It's up for grabs. I love Jesus Christ Superstar. And I love, what's the one with Whoopi Goldberg? Sister Act. Come on. The Catholic Church has been at the core of media, like, and depictions of nuns and priests and Catholicism for years. There's mm-hmm. a million TV shows yeah. and movies. Like, yeah. it's fodder for these things.
The problem, you know? Right. And the problem for the Catholics, the ones that are upset right now, it's who's doing it, right? And that's why it's like, just be fucking real. Mm-hmm. You're homophobic, mm-hmm. you're transphobic, you mm-hmm. have a problem with who's doing it, mm-hmm. because when y'all are out doing the Stations of the Cross and having children enact the Stations of the Cross,
yes.
that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay to do, but anything else is a mockery.
It's a mockery. Like, let's recreate the crucifixion of Jesus Christ with child actors
yeah.
in front of the entire church community.
And that's okay.
That's fine.
So just want to read... I found when I was doing my basic research as a human with a mind, which I hope that yeah. some of these people do, but they won't.
On Google, if you have a Wi-Fi connection.
Yes. So something that I found on their website, thesisters.org, is their origin story. And in 1976, in Iowa, a convent of Roman Catholic nuns lent some retired habits to the Sugar Plum Fairies performing their version of The Sound of Music. One year later, one of the founders of Sister Vicious Power Hungry Bitch moved to San Francisco and brought those habits to the streets of the Castro District. So that is the origin story. The Catholic nuns lent retired habits. To my knowledge, right, or my deductive skills is telling me that the nuns were okay with this being used as a performance.
Yes, costumes.
It's a costume.
Mm-hmm. By queer performers, queer yes. entertainers.
So... This happened in 1976, y'all.
Yeah. And look, I think also people forget, like, you may be like some ultra conservative, like Opus Dei, like Catholic, like, but there are orders of nuns out there aside from the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence that are highly progressive.
Yeah.
Highly, 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 highly progressive, that fight for abortion rights, that fight for queer rights, that believe in women's rights. Nuns also historically, like throughout the world, you're going to find that convents have been places where queer women have gone so that they can exist and live without being forced to get married. Like, nuns are not like necessarily the ultra conservative people that you might be imagining them to be. It's just not, that's just not their role. And also, the Catholic Church historically has not taken care of their nuns. Like, they don't help nuns to retire. They don't keep them fed and clothed into their old age. Like, notoriously, nuns are left destitute in their old age.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know. There's just so much going on here. Also, why do we expect the Dodgers of all institutions to, like, I don't know, like, protect your religious beliefs or whatever? Why the Dodgers? They're a sports team.
Right.
You know, they're also a corporation.
Yeah.
Before anything else. They're not a religious group. I don't get it.
Yeah, I also wanted to go back and say, like, a historical figure that was a nun that was believed to be queer because of her poetry was Sor Juana de la Cruz.
Sor Juana.
Yes. So, like, there's a historical example of a queer nun.
Yeah. And there are others. And I mean, Sor Juana is famous in Latino communities. Mm-hmm. And they've made TV shows about her. They've made movies and documentaries about her. So I don't know. I just think basically get a grip.
Yeah.
Like, if you were at the protest, like, you really had nothing else better to do that day than go join Alex Villanueva and his like alt-right pals to go protest an order of nuns.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Let's go sit in at the Archdiocese and demand that they pay their teachers at Catholic schools better. Those are teachers that don't have a union.
Yeah.
You guys know that? Catholic school teachers don't have a union.
They don't have a union.
And they're horribly underpaid.
Yes.
Let's go protest that.
Yeah. There's so many things, like, if you want to demand more from your own religious institution, like the Archdiocese, like, there's so much more that you could be doing if you really care about the betterment of your fellow Catholics, of your fellow people. Like,
yeah. Oh, and when Nacho Libre came out,
right.
And Nacho is literally a priest in Mexico who, like, has, like, a little tryst with a nun, Encarnacion, and they fall in. Like, come on, you guys. Like,
yeah.
That movie was really fucking hilarious. Love that movie. And so did the rest of you.
Right.
And where were the protests?
Right.
At the movie premiere. Because it was making a mockery of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and also,
give me a break.
The Catholic Church has still not made amends for the boarding schools.
No.
That abused physically, sexually Native children in Canada, here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many atrocities, and the Catholic Church is at the root of them, and they have not made amends. I will recognize that the current pope has made some strides, but there's, like, centuries worth of violence.
Yes.
And that's what you need to focus on, because as the trite saying goes, like, don't throw rocks if you're in a glass house.
Mm-hmm. Don't throw stones and hide your hand.
Yes. Come on,
May
y'all.
He who is without sin cast the first stone.
Exactly.
Come
you think
on
we
now.
Can't quote scripture, bitches? Like, yes, we can. 12 years worth of Catholic school. It's ingrained in us. We know. We can't forget
know.
It.
We fucking know. And that's why I feel like we can talk
yes,
about this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I, like, shared a video that the LA Times made, and I was like, I promise you the Catholics are not oppressed. And I expected my DMs to be on fire, but no, because people fucking know, and the people that follow me know. They probably feel the same way I do. / I feel like you and I, like you said, can speak on these things because we're not looking from the outside. We were inside.
Yeah. I still go to church with my grandma and my mom when they ask me to.
Right.
I feel bad.
I get it. You have to go
bad.
With mom and grandma Nacha. I get it.
Oh, my God. It's such a thing still. But yeah, like, and if you guys really know your church and really know your faith and really know Catholicism, then you would know all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
No.
Woo, should we move on to Flamin' Hot and the Hot Cheetos? Another one, another hot topic.
Another hot take. So we went to the West Coast premiere of Flamin' Hot. It was at the La Leaf Film Festival, the Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival, one of our favorite events in Los Angeles. It was Eva Longoria's directorial debut.
Yes.
Linda Yvette Chavez is one of the writers, the screenwriters, past guest of Locatora. Full transparency.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Past guest of Locatora Radio. We interviewed Linda Yvette Chavez and Marvin Lemus during the Gentified era.
Just launched their first season, and it was during the pandemic, like April 2020 when we interviewed them.
And we had both of them on at the same time. Since then, Marvin and Linda have both gone on to do more projects. Linda with Flamin' Hot, starring Annie Gonzalez opposite Jesse John Garcia. who plays Richard Montañez. And Marvin has gone on to direct a feature film for Disney Plus called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, which is an adaptation of the children's book by the same title. And Eva Longoria is acting in that film. So it's kind of cool that like Eva has been involved with both Marvin and Linda, acting in their projects, directing, producing. Eva, girl. We're here, honey. We're around. But no, so we go to La Leaf, which again we love. We saw the premiere of the movie. I love the movie. I thought it was cute. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was well done. I thought Annie Gonzalez was fantastic, which seems to be the consensus.
Yeah.
Her performance was really a standout performance. And Jesse John Garcia was fabulous in his adaptation of Richard. Like, he gave Richard a personality that we could all connect to, that we wanted him to win. He made us laugh. He really embodied that he's a family man trying to make it work and trying to make something happen for his kids and his wife. You know, I liked it and I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah, I echo that sentiment. I felt the same way. I really liked the entire cast. I thought it was so well done.
You have to see.
Yeah, I think with anything, like if you want to critique it or have you always have to like engage with it and watch it yourself and come to your own conclusion and your own opinion. Right. Mm-hmm. Since its launch, there have been a lot of opinions, a lot of critiques. Just per usual, anytime there's a Latino, Latinx project, mm-hmm. there's chatter, there's discourse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's exhausting. It's necessary, perhaps, but it's also exhausting. I think there's a time and place. There are people that do it. I just personally don't feel like I don't want to be a film critic.
I want to say it was 2021. Sam Dean, a tech reporter at the LA Times, wrote an article, and it was sort of like an expose style article. And his thesis was that the so-called inventor of Flaming Hot Cheetos, Richard Montañez, did not invent Flaming Hot Cheetos at all, that it's based on a lie, that the LA Times received an anonymous tip from someone formerly employed at Frito-Lay who reached out to say that, you know, she was there in the 70s in the Midwest and working in corporate, and that Frito-Lay was working on developing spicy snacks before Richard Montañez entered the fold. So that was the kind of basis for the LA Times putting out Richard lied. And this is like how it's been framed. Richard Montañez lied.
Yeah.
The movie's based on a lie. But like, Richard Montañez has been writing books and going on tour and doing speaking engagements and talking about Frito-Lay for 20 plus years. And has Frito-Lay ever like sent him a cease and desist? Have they ever said, stop saying that? Have no, to our knowledge.
Yeah, I find it interesting that this expose was published when, obviously investigative reporting takes time, but I think it's very interesting that it came out shortly after the film was announced, the making of the film and who was involved with the project. So I think that's really interesting because, to your point, like, this multi-million corporation is just going to allow a single man to go with this narrative. I don't know. Maybe in their eyes, it makes them look better. I don't know. But I think it's really interesting that there has been no like legal fallout.
Yeah.
And that a film like this was even able to be made if there was not some truth to it.
Yeah.
And I think there's also, you know, if you watch the film, there's a scene where they do address that in the Midwest, there is a test lab and they are making something. And I think that that was probably the writer's way of addressing like some of what happened with the investigative report.
Totally. The film is self-aware and depicts mm-hmm. corporates, suits, snack developers mm-hmm. working on spicy snacks. Like, it's in the film. The film acknowledges that they were working towards spicy snacks already before Richard got there. And here's my deal. A huge, at the time, Frito-Lay already and PepsiCo, already huge corporations, huge. Nobody invents anything by themselves. Like, when, at this stage of the game and even then, like, teams of people invent things and test things, you know, and go through different iterations and put out samples. And like, why is it so hard for us to believe that Richard was an integral part of the move towards eventually launching Hot Cheetos and all its different variations. And he's known as like the godfather of Hispanic marketing. And I think a big part of the film is like him getting the chips out there and into Latino communities. And whether you like it or not, and whether you like capitalism and marketing or not, we're in it, y'all. We're in capitalism. Like, that's the only way we survive is by making money sometimes on things. You know what I mean? Like, people love Hot Cheetos.
Yeah. As like
people love Hot Cheetos.
People love Hot Cheetos. And then there's like a couple different things I'm seeing. I'm seeing one as a Hot Cheeto lover. And I consider myself a very healthy person. But like I consume Hot Cheetos. And some of the conversation that I've seen, like, OK, why are we not talking about how this snack is being forced or put on our community? And there's red dye and that has health effects and this and this and that. Like, so we're going to harp on the one snack as if there's not thousands of things, you know?
Is every birria variation right now the healthiest? Is birria ramen that everybody's obsessed with right now, is that the height of health and wellness?
Right.
No.
And then there's the other camp that I see, like, this is just a movie that's glorifying, like, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and the American success story that is, you know, has been discredited as a myth, right? We know that to be true. Both can be true. We know that. And I think it's frustrating for me. You know, I see there's a lot of want and desire by Latino media consumers to have a broader scope of film and TV and stories that are told, right? It's not just the sad stories. We know that those are true. It's not just immigration stories. We know that those are true. But it's also fun and light stories that we want.
Yeah.
Well, here's a fun and light film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still not good enough. It's still not to the standard of what people want.
Also, I will just say that a lot of the journalists that I'm seeing who are hating the Flaming Hot movie loved Selena the series. And that shit was actually trash. Cheap, poorly done, hard to watch.
Yeah.
Bad. This movie was well made.
It was well made.
Well acted. The hair was fabulous. The wardrobe was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the writing, it's a Disney movie.
Yes.
Y'all. Remember that. Remember that it's a Disney movie. This is a story that we're telling for entertainment purposes. And it was well done and they did a good job. Also, the LA Times literally sponsored the opening night of La Leaf, which was the premiere night of Flaming Hot. The LA Times logo was all over the napkins at the bar and all over the step and repeat. And everybody went from the Flaming Hot premiere with their complimentary bags of Hot Cheetos, us included, and walked over to the Hollywood Roosevelt and took pictures in front of the LA Times sponsored step and repeat. Let's just remember that.
Yeah.
And so the LA Times folks who are all up, it's based on a lie. Well, then why are you guys sponsoring the damn premiere?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I think that there is some truth to his involvement. I don't think that Eva would stake her directorial debut on something that's a flat out lie. I don't think that Disney would get involved in something that's a lie, or the production company. Like, there's so many people involved. It's huge.
Yes.
As you know, like, productions are huge, and a production of this scale, huge. I think that there is some truth to it.
Me too.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten made.
Yeah, and like the way that credit is doled out for things, like even on a song, like one Beyonce song is going to have credits for like 15 writers.
Yeah.
Even if one of those writers contributed like one lyric, three words. You know, if that song was loosely based on somebody's song from 30 years ago, that person's getting a credit.
Yeah.
So going back to this idea, like, of course, one singular person was not completely and totally responsible for the creation, testing and distribution of a big product like Hot Cheetos. It was a fucking team, bro.
Yeah.
But why go so far as to say that Richard is straight up lying for his involvement in the success of this product? You know what I mean?
Right. And it's also Richard's story. It's not how Frito-Lay made Hot Cheetos. It's how a man brought his sazon, his life experience, his story to a corporation, rose up to the ranks.
Yeah.
That's what the story's about.
Yeah. I will also say, I did notice Eva Longoria directed this project. People are being nasty about her and about it. when Eva Longoria put out Searching for Mexico, same nasty, oh, this is just selling the culture, and this is so cheesy and tacky. Honey, this is part of a Searching for series. Stanley Tucci has a Searching for Italy, and I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Are you guys jumping down Stanley Tucci's throat because he's doing a tacky, cheesy Searching for Italy? No. But it's Eva, so let's jump on her.
Yeah, I think
we
like
see it, y'all. We see it all.
Our thesis for all these years has always been, when a woman does it, when a Latina does it, we're all going to hate on it. It doesn't matter if it's good or not. We're going to hate on it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to rally everyone else to hate on it, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and people are ready to show up for that call.
Yeah.
Ready.
Yeah.
Ready. Poise.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Anyway, y'all. Well, this has been a jam-packed episode. Our first episode to kick off the season. And we're super excited because next time on Locatora Radio, we're actually introducing a mini-series called Me, My Mental Health, and I.
We're so excited. We have been talking about this series for a long time. On Me, My Mental Health, and I, we're going to be hearing from licensed therapists, artists, writers, all about their journeys with mental health and how it shows up in their work.
So subscribe to our newsletter to stay informed. Follow us on all socials. I'm at DiosFM.
And I am at Mala_Munoz.
And you can follow both of us at Locatora_radio.
Visit our website, locatoraradio.com. That's where you can subscribe to Besitos, our newsletter, and also leave us a SpeakPipe voice memo that just might show up on a future episode of Locatora Radio. What did you guys think about the Flamin' Hot movie? What do you think about the controversy? What do you think about all of the critiques floating around? Maybe that's what you guys want to talk to us about. Send us a voice memo at locatoraradio.com. And remember to share this episode and Locatora Radio with your primas.
Besitos.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, is executive produced and hosted by me, Mala Munoz, and Diosa Fem.
Story editing by me, Diosa.
Audio editing by Stephanie Franco.
Thank you to our locamores, our listeners, for all of your support.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Munoz
and Diosa Fem.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.